Our text will declare today the one and only source for life. There's no exaggeration or embellishment in that statement. So if you find life dull, boring, confusing, lonely, dissatisfying, empty, or miserable, and you are about to be confronted with meaning, purpose, joy, eternity, victory, and eternal satisfaction, take that.
Hello and welcome back to Live in the Light. And a good day to you all, our listeners, whether you're joining us in the car or you're at home with the kids or you're at work. We're so thankful that you've joined us here today. We're continuing on in our series, looking deeply at these wonderful stories of the birth of the church in the book of Acts. And we're excited to step one step further today. And joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Ravi Simons. And Ravi, today, the title of today's message is all about life, right?
Yeah, the title says everything, Craig. It's the author of life. We know the verse that comes from and the truth that it holds within. Man, the author of life. Can you imagine if you met the author of life? I mean, that would be a pretty important person to meet. The author of life, the one who originates and holds and gives and guarantees and promises life to come eternally. That's a pretty important meeting, and that's why we're here, to introduce you to Jesus Christ, maybe for the first time ever, and then to cause you to be more in love with the author of life, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's exactly what Acts 3 does today. So, man, Craig, just excited even to think that people maybe are tuning in and have never formally, genuinely met the author of life. And so we're going to hear all about him. There is no one greater, no one more beautiful, powerful, special than Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Again, the originator, the perfecter, the author of life. So may he give life and may he fill all his children with life today. In the name of Jesus, the author of life. Amen.
Amen. Well, some deep and amazing truths are waiting for us today. I pray that you have got a copy of God's word and you're able to open it and you're able to join us in Acts chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 11. And here now again is Pastor Ravi with today's teaching, a message entitled, The Author of Life.
I'm excited to be together, and I'm excited to be with you this morning in this chance to worship. Remember, if your theology is right, this is the best time of your week, all right? Because you are gathering as the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, and the family of God. All right, let's see your sports team try to match that, all right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So when our theology is right, we are so blessed and privileged. And on top of the awesome grace of the church, this week we woke up with an extra hour of sleep. How about that, eh? So you can high-five somebody beside you, give a props and say, yeah, daylight savings time. There you go. Daylight savings time. There you go. Greet someone in that. Thankful for that. It's true. And a few more people at this service I noticed too than maybe normal. Who knows? So encouraged by this past week at Stand Firm. And to top that list is, and I mean this sincerely, is the heart and grace of our people of Hope Church. The impact of those who served was absolutely outstanding. Probably the most frequent comment I got from the hundreds and hundreds that were here from all over the world was you. So on behalf of the elders, I'm just super, super proud of you. I'm super, super thankful. We had the newly appointed president of the GCC, which is the Association of Churches we're a part of. Dave Harvey was with us. And Dave was just so encouraged by this church to the point he wanted to write a letter. And I want to read it to you just to encourage you. He says, "Hey, Hope Church family, my name is Dave. I'm delighted to say that I was among those who attended Stand Firm Conference this past week in my new role as president of the GCC. I'm writing to say thank you. Yet somehow those words don't quite capture my depth of gratitude for the gracious hospitality you showed those who took part in the conference. So if you'll indulge me a moment, I'd like to encourage you a bit more specifically." This is fun. "From the first moment I drove in the parking lot of Hope Church, I was met with energetic smiles and marked enthusiasm from parking attendants. These folks were excited to serve those who are attending the conference as the people arriving to participate. Their infectious joy set the tone for each meeting that followed. It was absolutely contagious. I love that. Greeters at the entrance then raced to welcome us and ushered us into the beautiful space so purposely and lovingly prepared by our local church. One greeter actually had pom-poms. Awesome. Cheering us ahead into an experience none of us will soon forget. Once inside the building, the kindness continued. A smiling blue-clad, that's the t-shirts they wore. Long-suffering servants made sure we all had the information we needed and ushered us to the right places at the right times. The joy in the faces of each person involved in that process just seemed so delightful to me. There was just something beautiful in the way you gave yourself to serve leaders you don't even know. Then came the worship. We were led by skilled musicians who were caught up in the content they were singing, and your pastors embodied God's heart each time they stepped onto the stage with microphone in hand. In short, Hope Church, because of you, each attendee to the Stand Firm Conference was led, served, loved, encouraged, challenged, and fed. All because you have a vision to exist for something outside of yourselves. It's something God-honoring and wonderful. I know there are 1,000 other people who experienced your love this week that would pile on to affirm what I am saying. So thank you from my heart. Thank you. In the wake of something beautiful, thank you. On behalf of Great Commission Collective, thank you. With respect and affection, Dave Harvey. That's awesome. Thank you, church. That is such a joy to be able to read from others. And again, so proud of your part within this. You have to understand, by God's grace, we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And I want to remind you, too, the whole Seek First campaign allows us to continue to do stuff like this and be generous to others in the midst of what's happening. So in our day, man, these things are so important. So thank you for allowing me the time just to read that in detail. All right, let's get our Bibles open to Acts chapter 3 now. Acts chapter 3, and here's our sermon title, The Author of Life. The Author of Life. I love that phrase so much. I love that truth and that title so much. The Author of Life, the founder of life, the originator of life. All of this will be explained to us today from God's word. Our passage today will define the meaning of life. Like for real, that's going to happen today. It will detail the purpose of life. No joke. Our text will declare today the one and only source for life. There's no exaggeration or embellishment in that statement. So if you find life dull, boring, confusing, lonely, dissatisfying, empty, or miserable, and you are about to be confronted with meaning, purpose, joy, eternity, victory, and eternal satisfaction, take that, all right? Let's see your shot of espresso include that in your daily routine. It's not going to happen, all right? Pastor Earl last week wonderfully taught us the story of the lame beggar who was healed being 40 plus years old and being lame from birth. He had been miraculously healed again by no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. So what happens now, we read in our text today, the people are astounded by what they have seen. They are forced to explain and to try and comprehend what just happened. Their minds are blown by what they see and trying to understand how God is working, or even how do they put this into their own context in terms of the natural and the supernatural? This is what we walk into as we look at verse 11. While he, the beggar lame that was just healed, while he clung to Peter and John, all the people utterly astounded. Okay, whenever the Bible has a phrase like that, utterly, like not just astounded, utterly astounded, the Bible is going out of its way to tell us this was a pretty significant deal that was happening. They ran together. They didn't walk. Just picture this. Live in the text. They're running together in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk? Now, again, I love to put myself in the text. I always encourage you to do the same. Again, to try to imagine what utterly astounded looked like, the expression on their faces. Did they talk? Did they just gasp for breath? Were they just kind of staring in disbelief? Were they fired up like crazy to try to make sense of what was happening? Again, to imagine what running together in amazement looked like to people totally baffled at what they could not deny. And yet they're trying to comprehend this lame beggar they had seen for years and years and years and years and years. And they knew from birth he was that way. And then all of a sudden, his muscles and his, again, ligaments all been strengthened. And he was there walking and standing and leaping and praising God. Are you kidding me? And they're trying to put again into context as to how did this take place? Now, what they're about to find out, okay? And we know this, a full 2,000 of them. In fact, if you look at chapter 4, verse 4, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So at Pentecost, 3,000 were saved, 5,000 men. So we have to then assume women and children as well. Thousands are coming to Christ again. So this is what they found out then. This is what they're about to understand in this moment for the first time ever. Point number one is this: the power, the glory, and the life in Jesus, okay? These people, for the first time ever, are going to fully understand for their own lives and hearts the power of Jesus, the glory of Jesus, and life that is only found in Jesus. And again, I want you to understand today, all three of these things are only found in one person. Our world is desperately searching for power and glory in life. And our world will always come up empty until they turn to Jesus, because in Jesus is power and glory and life. So the people's minds were blown. They witness this lame man who is healed, and they take such profundity and wonder, and they have to try to place it in a category of some kind. And their first response, notice from our text, is to try to take the wonder of this miracle and to attribute or to place it, again, in the praise of men. They try to turn it to Peter and the disciples and say, you did this. You must be the one worthy of the praise. What I love about what's happening in the text here is, again, when our world sees something supernatural and recognizes the glory and the wonder of what's before them, and they have to give an explanation for it. In recent weeks, Kanye West, again, famous rapper, hip-hop guy, whatever. I didn't know much about him before. Look into him now. He is testifying to a profound conversion to Jesus Christ. And as I dug into it a little bit deeper this week, man, I pray for him, man. It looks legit. This guy is gone from whatever he used to be, whatever. Now he's, I don't recommend anything before Christ, he's saying, okay, I don't even know, I've never heard anyone. Okay, I'm just right now. Pastor Robbie said, no, he didn't. But he came out with an album just recently, a couple weeks or a week ago, Jesus is King. And I watch interviews, man. I don't know a guy in our world right now, at least North America, who is more up against the forces of the devil and darkness and is standing in the face of it all and saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is King. And the world, these interviewers, these like late time guys, they're standing beside him and they're kind of like, so are you saying you're born again? They don't even know what they're saying, but they're trying to put into a category, what happened to you? I love it. Pray for him. Pray for him, okay? Pray for him, man. Pray for him. Who knows what the Lord will do with this? But it's amazing to me. I gotta love watching them. We're trying to fit in and explain, and they come up with all their things. But it's awesome to say you cannot explain anything like these things except in the category of Jesus Christ. Now, know what Peter does immediately. He's so filled with God's Spirit. Now, remember, how do we know we're filled with God's Spirit? When we're filled with God's Spirit, we exalt Christ. We're never filled with God's Spirit and exalt man, right? You're filled with God's Spirit and you just desire to honor the Lord. So look at verse 12. Verse 12, and when Peter saw it, he's like, are you crazy? That's my translation. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. Translation, Peter's like, you think we could do this? You think our power and our glory was able to heal this lame man? Au contraire, mon frère, okay? I'm not sure if Peter spoke French. However, it was nearly after Pentecost, right? God's given out all sorts of different languages, right? Right? You never know. You never know, okay? He's like, hey, it's not us. It's not us. It's the Lord Almighty. Now look at verse 13. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus. he says here. Now, notice how quickly Peter goes to Jesus, the Lord of glory. He doesn't let them sit for like a moment in giving him credit that is not his to take. But notice what he does next. Look at verse 13 as well. He's like, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, servant Jesus. Notice, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Now, wow, okay? Notice Peter's boldness in confronting their sin. See what's happening there? This is a major moment in the life of the early church here again. Like another, a minimum 2,000 people are getting saved in a moment, probably much more than that. God's Spirit is working so powerfully. Peter's like, listen, Jesus is the one who's responsible, but you and your sin, you killed him. So this is if you're one of the people, you can live in the text, you're one of the people who's about to be saved in a couple of moments, and you see this healing, and Peter says, Jesus is the glory, and you're like, wow, man, I'm starting to connect the dots here all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit's working in you, and then Peter says, and you killed him, and you're like, oh no, right? But like not a joke, like you're like, oh, and the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you did kill them. You're like, oh. And so just like in this moment, and you're not fiddling with your phone texting people. You're not kind of checking the weather. You're not kind of just looking around. You're dialed in, man. Your Holy Spirit, he's got you. He's got you fixed and transfixed. And you're sitting there, pin drop, not a sound. People probably holding their breath. Like this is one of these moments right here in the text. Because God's so powerfully working among people, both in the glory of Christ and the conviction of sin. And you're starting to see this man was healed. This man was healed because of the glory that is found in Jesus Christ. And so Peter, right now, he's under the school of preaching of the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit's his professor, okay? And so like any strong Spirit-led preacher will do, right? He exalts Christ. And now he humiliates man. Do you realize that's what effective preaching does? It's the exaltation of Christ to the humbling or even the humiliation of man. That's what authentic preaching is supposed to do. Why is that? Here's why. Because there's no true conversion apart from true conviction. There won't be, unless there's conviction, there won't be conversion. You know, I think about in our day, there's such a hesitancy to preach on sin. There's such a reluctancy to speak of the depravity of man. There's the ongoing temptation to tickle ears with soft truth. There's so much preaching that is in the fear of man and then absent of the fear of God. People think they're helping people when they do that. And yeah, you may be liked by a few more people, but at the end of the day, you're not being faithful to the gospel. Because until humanity recognizes its need, their need for Jesus Christ because of the devastation of their own sin, they can never truly be saved. So how does Peter do in this regard? Now remember, Peter is a lowly fisherman and has zero credibility apart from that he has the Holy Spirit with him, okay? So again, look at verse 13, okay? Halfway through, he says, You delivered Jesus over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. Okay, so I give Peter a pass in terms of boldness here, all right? He's doing pretty good, okay? Notice, you delivered, you denied, you killed the author of life. So the Holy Spirit is blowing people apart in this moment. We know that by the end. We know that. So I just picture with every phrase that Peter says, the people's pride and their devastation kind of grows and they're lowered with each statement. You delivered Jesus. Oh, you denied him. Oh, you killed the author of life. And there's just the brokenness and the personal devastation starts to set in. And the people, some of them probably started to whimper. Like I kid you not. Probably started the seeds of just contrition and personal devastation at the reality of what they had done. Notice Peter says, and you ask for a murderer. That's speaking of Barabbas. Before Pilate, you asked for a murderer to be granted to you instead of Jesus. Okay, that is probably one of the worst decisions of all time. Would you like Barabbas or Jesus? Barabbas, please, you moron. Okay? What are you talking about? But this is what sin does. Would you like eternal life or would you like some thief? A thief, please, you moron. Telling you, like, this is what our world does. Would you want Jesus or you want death? Death, please. You moron. Can I keep saying that? I'm sorry. Am I offending anyone? I'm sorry. But the reality and the totality of what's happening here. You want sin or you want forgiveness? Sin, please. You want hell or heaven? Hell, please. This is what our world is doing in the millions. In the millions and billions. Choosing death over life. It's the dumbest decision ever. And Peter's like, this is what you chose. And again, I can only imagine. Only imagine the brokenness setting in here. The stupidity and insanity of choosing Barabbas over Jesus. But listen, nothing's, hey, and I hope, like, as much as I'm, like, smashing the people here, I'm just like, man, for decades, I chose Barabbas over Jesus. And so did you. This is the devastation of sin and blindness. Sin is so devastating. There are men right here in this room that you're on the verge of doing something utterly destructive to your marriage because you're so dumb and dead in your sin. There are women here right now, man, you're on the verge of seeking some kind of lifestyle that is going to absolutely wreck your heart and affection for Jesus Christ because you're so dead and dumb to your sin. That's what sin does. It blinds us entirely. It ruins us. And that's what Satan wants. But listen, I want you to see here, okay, like Peter's like, hey, listen, you killed the author of life. But he's like, but you get a second chance. And you're like, really? Like, really? Well, this is what happens. And you're here right now, and you've killed the author of life because of our sin. You get a second chance as well. This is the marvel of this. Peter's not done here. He says with his final laser beam of spirit-given conviction, he says, you killed the author of life. Now, I love the term author of life. I want to unpack that just a little bit right here. Sit and think on that term for a moment. The author of life. The author of life in the Greek, it's a phrase that means first cause or occasion. It denotes someone of preeminent position, a one who begins something, the first in a series. The author of life was someone who was never at the back of the line giving orders. It was someone always in the front, leading, setting the example. Jesus is the author of life. I want you to look at some of these verses saying this. It's so awesome. He is the firstborn over all creation. That means preeminent one. He is the supreme one over all creation. All things, I just love these verses. All things were created through Christ and for Christ. All things. All things were made through him. Everything was made through the glory and person of Jesus Christ. And just in case you didn't get that, and without him was not anything made that was made. There's a few more verses I want you to see here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life is found in Jesus Christ himself. Turn to him today. He is the heir. He is the heir of all things. All things. None like Jesus. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. All things were made through him and for him. Watching a nature show this week again. I love nature shows. You know that about me. And you're watching on there. I'm learning on nature shows, learning about creatures that had never before been discovered until now. And the intricacies and the complexities and the beauty and the, mind-blowing details of one little aspect of creation, which is more than the human mind can comprehend. And I love forcing anyone with an earshot around me, particularly my kids, to say, man, do you see how awesome God is? And this is all for Jesus. And it's for Jesus. And Jesus did this. He did this. He created all of it. All of it. It's a wonder. It's awesome. It's amazing. He's the author of life. The world doesn't want to hear it, but the Lord continues to proclaim it. He's the author of life. And listen, our sin killed the author of life. But God's power raised him because he is the author of life. I mean, who here, even right now today, you need to surrender your soul to the author of life, Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is awesome. And Peter's like, hey, you got to know. You killed him, but you can be raised by him. There's only one who holds such glory and power and life. Secondly, this, number two, faith, repentance, and revival in Jesus. Faith, repentance, and revival. So Peter, really, he's just warming up, man, the Holy Spirit's using him. Verse 16, he says, this we are witnesses of. And then verse 16, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus. Look at Peter. Look at how intentional. He's like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's awesome. What a lesson for us. Through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. How about that? And look at Peter directing attention away from even the healed beggar. And he's certainly directing attention away from the apostles or himself. He just keeps holding up Jesus. Why? Because through Jesus, this man has been given perfect health. Notice how given perfect health? Through faith in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus. Amen, church, loved ones. The name, ever tire saying, thinking, praying, singing the name of Jesus. This whole world has been changed by the name of Jesus. I find myself often drifting towards choruses. I want you to look at this chorus here. Growing up with this, I didn't appreciate it. After you get saved, Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names. When you sit and stop and be still and understand how glorious this is, it's so wonderful to sing and to reflect and to take in and to absorb. And I just encourage you, man, like today, like just take a moment, just stop. Like just take a moment and be still and just find a quiet place and just consider and reflect on the beauty and the glory and the power and the revival that is found in Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these free resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's liveinthelight.ca. If you'd like to get a copy of the entire series, make sure you phone us at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. At Live in the Light, we believe that through the faithful and the passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they would be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolve and will to live in Jesus Christ. I'm Craig Turnbull, and on behalf of Robbie Simons, we invite you to join us again next time on Live in the Light.